Jeez, Dad, not the car again.
Oh, happens all the time with old Betsy.
Have you checked out Carvana yet? They have thousands of cars for under $20,000.
But do those thousands of cars have personality like old Betsy?
Betsy's held together by tape, and there are raccoons living in the engine.
Psh, it's a family car.
There are flames on the hood?
Ah, custom paint job.
No, Dad, the car's on fire.
How many cars did you say Carvana had?
Visit Carvana.com to shop thousands of cars for under $20,000. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
That was a great dinner.
So great. Wait, where'd you park the car?
Oh, the one I just sold to Carvana.
What? When did you do that?
When you were still looking at the menu. I went on Carvana.com and all I had to do was enter the license plate or VIN, answer a few questions, and got a real offer in seconds.
They picked up the car already?
No, I parked around the corner. But they are picking it up tomorrow and paying me right on the spot.
Oh, no wonder you picked up the check.
Yeah, about that. Thought we were going halvesies.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, we have them back on, Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin, hosts of the Run Farther and Faster podcast. The podcast is dedicated to the sport of running as it features a wide range of interviews from doctors to athletes to weekend warriors, and it also provides information to coaches and runners of all levels. On the program, we recap the 2023 running of the Boston Marathon, plus we talk about the winners. And also, we look back at the 10th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing and much more. Julie and Lisa are coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Hey, sweetie, what do you think of our new car from Carvana?
Think it can handle our busy family?
Well, we have 7 days to see. First, we can take the scenic route to the beach and stargaze through the moonroof. We'll see if your drums fit in the trunk. Then we can pick up mommy's friends and check out that legroom. And we should really visit grandma. She's getting up there.
That's like a whole lifetime in 7 days.
And like one busy family.
With our 7-day money-back guarantee, you can confidently shop for cars 100% online. Visit Carvana.com for all terms and conditions. We'll drive you happy. At Carvana.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping, and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers we'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you'll want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping, and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number
97. Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
And the crowd getting into it as they get to welcome their first hero of 2023 home. And in doing so, as he'll cross Exeter here in a moment and be into that final block in front of the Boston Public Library, he's going to get under that course record. So this will be a big payday for the 2023 champion. Marcel Hoog takes the victory as he celebrates the win in Boston.
It feels incredible. It was a great race, but also a difficult race in these conditions. And to do this fast time on this course in these conditions is, for me, it's incredible.
And now, maybe for the first time, a little bit of a smile on her face as she will try to take in this amazing moment as she will win her first Boston Marathon. The 31-year-old American in total control as she wins her first Boston Marathon.
I really think, and this went through my mind today, regardless of what you're experiencing that day, some setbacks you can have, it's a privilege to be out here. And I learned, after taking a year where I couldn't race, I'm so happy just to get to be here and the opportunity we have to do this for and to inspire others. I try to soak in each moment of that now.
The greatest marathon runner in the world today on April 17th of 2023 is going to be Evans Chebet, the upset winner and champion of the 127th Boston Marathon.
Today I'm happy because last year I ran, but last year is no train, but this year a lot of rain. So I'm happy because I know this course very well. Because I'm happy because I win last year and this year, so maybe next year I'll come back again.
As she is directed into that finisher chute, Bariso will go to the other side. And just needing an opportunity to race, Helen O'Beary is given that opportunity and takes full advantage. As she will come to line and celebrate with a huge smile, a Boston Marathon victory.
First of all, I'm so happy because I didn't want to come up here for this race. After, the coach tried to convince me, but my mind was somewhere else. So I said, no, I can't do Boston. So he told me, I believe on you. Just go for Boston and you will make it. For me, I was saying, I was 50-50, but he told me you have trained well. And they go to Boston and they be patient up to the last minute. So I said, okay, let me go and do it. But my heart, I needed to go like someone else in marathon. But I'm very, very happy. I couldn't believe this. Yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the BAA, the Boston Athletic Association, WCVB TV Channel 5 in Boston, and of course ESPN, and those were the sounds from the 2023 Boston Marathon. And of course, the winners, the individual winners of the Boston Marathon, where you had the wheelchair men's winner was Marcel Hu from Switzerland, also the wheelchair women's winner from the United States, Susanna Scaroni, and of course, the winner of the men's Boston Marathon representing Kenya, Evans Chebet, and a winner of the women's Boston Marathon, Helen O'Beary. And what an inspirational story that you heard about her. Almost not entering this year's marathon, but due to convincing from her coach, she decided to try it. And hey, she wound up winning this year's women's portion of the marathon. To talk more about this year's race and amongst other things, let's welcome them back to the program. They are the hosts of the Run Farther and Faster podcast, which is dedicated to helping runners of all levels, whether it be runners or coaches, helping to achieve their dreams in the sport of running. Julie Saffer and Lisa Levin, welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be back.
Thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Julie, I'd like to start off with you. The 2023 Boston Marathon has come and gone, and certainly from watching it on television, seemed like a very festive occasion despite the circumstances with the weather. Give me your overall take on this year's running of the marathon.
So, Ed, it was different for me this year because, as we talked about on our podcast, even though I had qualified for Boston this year and I was supposed to run my 13th, I tore my ACL not running in December. And as a result, I had the opportunity the unusual opportunity for me to spectate the Boston Marathon. So I can tell you from a spectator's point of view, at mile 23 and a half, which is where I was during the entire race, that the weather was actually really perfect for some terrific PRs. And while there were plenty of microclimates throughout the race, meaning sometimes it was hailing, sometimes it was just cloudy, and other times it was pouring, it seemed like the temperature held steady for a really favorable weather condition to run a runner's best race.
Awesome. And before I ask the same question to Lisa, how are you doing in your recovery from your ACL?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. I'm actually doing really well. I've already started running 4 months post-surgery, and I'm meeting all of my benchmarks, and I very much believe I'll be back to my previous self relatively soon. So thank you for asking.
You're welcome, because I know anytime someone tears an ACL, it's almost like they're never the same. Or, I mean, physically they can bounce back, but mentally it's always a challenge, especially when we hear it with not just weekend warriors, but particularly with professional athletes. They just feel different. I mean, when you tear it on multiple occasions and you recover from it, but you mentally you're just never the same. So that's why I wanted to ask you, but thank you for answering. And Lisa, I'll ask you the same question. What was your overall take of this year's marathon?
It was exciting, exciting year. And like Julie said, I think there was a lot of relief that the weather did turn on Friday before the marathon. It was record highs in Boston, close to 90 degrees. So I know runners, elites and mass entrants alike were relieved that the at least cooled down and that we didn't have too much of a headwind, which has been an issue for some years. So there, a lot of excitement, excitement around Kipchoge being there and, chatter about what the race was going to look like. So again, it's been nice. It's now the second year we've been back to kind of a quote unquote normal Boston back in April with a normal sized field. So, it felt again kind of back to the normal Boston excitement.
Awesome. And before we talk about the races and the winners of those individual races, I was going through some of the social media platforms for Run Farther and Faster. I noticed that you ladies had the opportunity to take in an experience of hosting seminars and taking part in different activities during the weekend that the Boston Athletic Association had. Alisa, I want to start off with you. I noticed you and Julie were hosting a seminar that featured women in running and things of that nature. Can you go more into detail about that?
Yeah, we were really excited this year to be invited by the BAA to moderate a panel on what we called Podium Pioneers. They were women running pioneers who, 50 plus years ago when women had first started officially running Boston Marathon, really made a mark and hit some real milestones and were raising the bar on running. We had Marilyn Bevins on our panel, who we had also interviewed last year on a live podcast at Boston, who was the first African-American woman to go sub 3 hours and set her PR on the Boston course and place second in Boston. We had Jackie Hansen, who placed first at Boston 50 years ago and was the first woman to go sub 240 in the marathon. And we had Patty Catalano-Dillon, who placed second at Boston 3 times, back in the late 70s, early 80s. And she is the first woman to have gone sub 230 in the marathon. So really, again, podium pioneers who came to share their expertise in not only running the marathon, but the Boston course, and specific to the Boston course. And they shared some really great advice, not only as runners, but they are also, some of them are also coaches now. So as experienced runners on the Boston course and as coaches, they shared some really great advice to people who are in the audience, and that is now available on our podcast. We've republished the audio advice on tackling the Boston course.
Awesome. Julie, would you like to expound more on that experience?
Yeah, I think for us, it was such an honor to be able to co-host this event with the host of the Women's Running Stories podcast, Cherie Louise Turner. And we came up with questions that would allow these women the opportunity to share their stories, particularly to Boston. And what I enjoyed most about the panel was not only watching these podium pioneers engage with each other, but the advice that they provided to members of the audience, of course, many of whom are running the race the next day. One piece of advice that I really enjoyed hearing was from Jackie Hansen, where she explained that it was a really good idea to divide the course into four parts and to really think about holding back at least the first half and then really letting it go this last quarter. And this is advice that we give as coaches to our runners all the time, but to hear someone provide the same advice that we're always trying to convey on our runners who ran and won the race exactly 50 years ago was really exciting for us to hear. I think another part of the panel that was really exciting for us as well is how well attended it was. And why that was important to us is that it showed that these women podium pioneers made history and people still want to learn their stories and honor them. And we stand on their shoulders, and they all single-handedly and collectively have made such an impact on women's running. And if it weren't for them, so many barriers wouldn't have been broken. And we were just so happy that so many people were there to support them and hear their stories.
That's awesome. And it's definitely great to see that you guys highlighted these women doing that have done magnificent things and are continuing to do amazing things. As you said, Lisa, and as you said, Julie, they've become coaches and still very active in the running community. So that's very awesome. And let's move over now to the individual winners. Let's start off in the winner of the women's wheelchair race, Susanna Scaroni. And watching the race on ESPN, this is interesting because Susanna, it represents the United States. And watching that race, she had an equipment malfunction with one of her wheels, but she was able to finish the race in time, stay in first place, and she was able to win after accomplishing a feat of finally winning her first Boston Marathon. Julie, I want to start off with you. Were you aware of Susanna and her situation as she finished first in the marathon?
And I was only aware of that Susanna finished first in the marathon from mile 23 and a half because I was ducking in and out of a coffee shop to look at someone's laptop who was live streaming the race. So that's the only reason I knew, because I was out there spectating. And of course, the women's and men's wheelchair races start way ahead of the men's and women's races. So when they pass, we all know that they're way in front, but we're not sure the order of the finish until we hear from someone else. And it certainly isn't announced from where I was spectating. So no, I was not aware, but for those spectators in the coffee shop who were live streaming the race themselves from their laptops.
I got to ask you a lighthearted question. Did you have a coffee and a pastry while you were going in and out of the coffee shop?
You bet. So funny story, I was actually with Lisa's daughter, who for the first time came to spectate, her mom, and that's because Lisa this year ran her 20th Boston, which is so exciting, and it was such a thrill to see her do that. And we found, shout out to Nero Coffee Shop at mile 23 and change. We went inside, explained what we were doing, and they couldn't have been more welcoming. And of course, we bought some items. And it was a cold day for spectating, so we did duck in and out of Nero Coffee and stayed warm and also had some food and used their restrooms, and they couldn't have been nicer. So I want to give them a shout out, and thanks for the opportunity to do that.
All right, shouts out to Nero's Coffee Shop indeed. And Lisa, you want to add on to where were you when you found out Susanna finished first in the women's wheelchair portion of the marathon?
Yeah, because I was running the race and was finished far behind her, I did not hear until I crossed the finish. But we did hear spectators shouting out the winners of the men's and the women's race. So I did hear that, but we did not hear about the wheelchair athletes. I was particularly impressed to read that at mile 9, she had a mechanical. I have kids who are cyclists, so I'm familiar at least with the bike setup, and know that is a real panic-inducing moment when you have a mechanical issue on your bike or on your racing chair, and that she fixed it herself.
and got back into the race. And she had enough of a cushion, and then she built even more of a cushion after she fixed her bike. I mean, fixed her, you know, her chair and fixed that mechanical issue. And then she built even more of a lead. So I was particularly impressed by that. And not only that, but that both of the winners, Marcel Kug, who's the male wheelchair winner, and Susanna, both raced London yesterday. So I think that's pretty impressive that they, you know, packed up and they went to London right from Boston at less than a week later. And Marcel Hoog actually won London yesterday, and Susanna was fourth in the wheelchair competition, which is extremely impressive to me.
Indeed, it was impressive on Susanna's part. And again, Susanna Scaroni was the winner of the wheelchair women's portion of the 2023 Boston Marathon. And let's move over to the wheelchair men's winner, Marcel Hoog from Switzerland. And again, watching the marathon on television and just hearing about Marcel just being a consistent competitor year in and year out competing in the Boston Marathons. And Lisa, you mentioned him, and I want to start off with you this time. Can you go more into detail about Marcel and him finishing first in the marathon?
He has won this race many times, and he actually in this race broke his own course record by a minute. So that is especially given the weather. I was actually thinking about the wheelchair athletes in the weather. The roads were very slick. There were times of downpours, like Julie mentioned, little microclimates along the way. So some portions of the course were okay, but some were really, standing water on the ground, pretty heavy downpours. And I kind of thought of them and how does that affect their race going downhill, especially on the downhill sections on the wet roads. But he apparently didn't affect him too badly, and it actually seems to have helped him. By the first 10K, he was already at a significant lead and just built up that lead. And again, he set a new record, which beat his old record, course record, by about a minute, I think. So, especially in those conditions, I think that's extremely impressive.
Awesome. And Julie, did you have a chance to see Marcel in action?
I sure did have the opportunity to see him in action, and he was actually the first athlete, of course, because he was the first wheelchair winner. And it was so exciting because we staked our spot about an hour before we anticipated the first man to cross our area. And that's because, of course, you can use the BAA app, which is a fabulous tracking app, to anticipate when people will be toward your area. So seeing the wheelchair racer come through first was really exciting, and it kind of kicked off the race. And the screams from the crowd were deafening because it marks the beginning of the race. And at mile 23 and a half, you kind of have an idea of who's in front, and certainly there was no one around him when we saw him, and it was really exciting.
Awesome. And again, that's Marcel Hoog on winning the wheelchair men's portion of the 2023 Boston Marathon. All right, ladies, let's get to the men's winner now. Someone who's no stranger to winning a Boston Marathon, that's Evans Chebet out of Kenya. You know, when we talk about the elite or the creme de la creme when it comes to distance running, you have Tanzania, you have Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, and of course, there's Kenya, just to name a few. And of course, Evans Chebet winning another Boston Marathon. Julie, I'd like to start off with you this time. Give me your thoughts on Evans winning this year's marathon.
I think Evans was counted out way too early. There was so much hype about Kipchoge running the marathon this year that no one talked as much about Evans Chebet, even though he is an experienced marathoner. He's tactical. He's so talented. And it was so interesting on a personal note because there was a truck coming through that says the time before you actually see the first runner. And everyone around me, including me, thought that, of course, the lone runner near that truck would be Kipchoge. And it wasn't. It was a pack of men. It was hard to see. The pack was so tight at mile 23 and a half, but Kipchoge was not in it. But Chebet was. And at that moment, it was anyone's race. But Evans Chebet is someone that if Kipchoge wasn't in the race this year, everyone would have predicted him to be the winner. But because Kipchoge was in the race, no one was talking about him. And we can get to this a little bit more in a moment, but my theory is that Boston is a different animal. And while the fastest man in the world, Kipchoge, can run the fastest marathon, the Boston course is not just about speed, it's about tactics. And Evans Tibet knew what to do, he knew when to execute, he knew when to hold back. And a lot of folks wonder if Kipchoge had stuck with Tibet and followed his lead, would he have won? And that's the big question.
All right, Lisa, would you like to add on to Evans winning another Boston Marathon this year?
I would absolutely echo what Julie says, and Julie is exactly right. Boston is so much about moving the course and experience on the course, and any runner who's run that course from again, the mass entrance to elite will tell you that it's experience on the course that counts, and that is, I think, why, just like Julie says, I think Evans was not paid a lot of attention, but he's the winner from last year and he has a ton of experience and he knew the course. And that is, I think, what makes Boston unique, is that it is not just a time trial by talented runners. It's strategic.
I want to stay just with the course for a moment. Both of you mentioned that about Evans having a tough go in the beginning, but he stayed the course. And you mentioned about Boston just being a different animal. With the way Boston is set up, with just the course of the marathon for that matter, you've mentioned about the course being very tough. Is it due to elevation or some parts of the course being elevated? What's the reason for this?
Yeah, the Boston course is notorious for it's actually a downhill course. And the first half of the course is downhill, net downhill. It doesn't mean all downhill. There are some uphill, some rollers, but it's downhill. And the mistake that most runners make, especially their first time, is going out too fast. There's a lot of adrenaline. It's just, it's downhill. So it feels really easy to cruise downhill. But the hills start in earnest at about mile 17. And those are the notorious Newton Hills that end with Heartbreak Hill, which is the final of actually four hills. And if you've gone out too fast, it is really hard to stay strong through those hills. And then once you're done with those hills, it's at 21 miles, you've got 10K to go. And you want to come out of the hills in a position to basically then turn on the jets and race the last 10K. It is a very unique course in that sense that, again, it's net downhill. So it sounds like it's a fast course. But if you go out too fast and you don't execute the proper strategy, you will suffer. You will pay for it on the back end.
Have you suffered from this before? Have you paid the price for that, for starting off too fast and then you kind of get winded towards the end?
Absolutely. And I've run, this was my 20th time running the Boston Marathon. It was really the 19th time on the Boston course, because the 20 counts the year that was virtual. And so I did not run on the course. So 19th time on the Boston course. I've never managed to run a negative split, which means the second half faster than the first half. I've managed to hold on pretty well and finish well with just a small positive split. But yes, there have been plenty of years where, especially in the beginning, where, and you can tell yourself over and over and over again, don't go out too fast, but it's really hard to do that with the combination of the downhill and the crowds and the adrenaline. And the other unique thing about Boston, at least for the masses, corral with all other runners who qualified with a similar time to yours. So you're all running or capable of running about the same pace. So everyone kind of goes out in the same momentum and the same wave, and you can get carried away a little bit by running with everybody who runs about your pace or a little bit faster than you. You might get sucked into people who are running a little too fast and lose perspective. So a lot of factors on the course make that. And so, yes, I have certainly done that in the past, but I have learned and have gotten more conscious of it as I progressed as a runner and as I've run the course.
All right, Julie, any stories that you have on running that tough course in Boston?
Yeah, I think the biggest story for me is that I really feel like I mastered the course when I understood the importance of not looking at my watch during the hills of Newton. The hardest part of the course is the Newton Hills, and that is because not just because it's hilly, but because of the placement of the hills. You've been running downhill, net downhill, as Lisa mentioned, for a good 16 miles, and then you make a right at the fire station and you're in Newton, and all of a sudden the entire undulation of the course changes and you are running up and down pretty steep hills compared to what you had been doing previously. And if you don't run slow enough or easy enough for the first part of the course, the hills are brutal. Even if you do conserve, the hills are still tough because of the placement in the course. So I would say, for me, when I stopped looking at my watch during the portion of the course of the hills and not really focus on my pace and instead focus on my effort, the last part of the course, basically the last 5 miles, was so much more pleasant because you run based on effort, and then when you're done, you take a big sigh of relief, and then the rest of the course, if you've executed it right and if you've conserved during the first portion, it's a really nice course that allows you to pass people. So Lisa and I work really hard with our runners to help them understand that this is all about strategy. It's not about your talent as much as it's about strategy. And it's anyone's game out there. And back to Kipchoge, we both really believe that if he had really focused more on strategy, he probably could have won the darn thing.
All right, fair enough. And then that's, again, Evans Chebet, who is the men's winner of the 2023 Boston Marathon. Again, back-to-back winner. And before we move along to the women's portion of the race, Lisa, I want to start off with you. Evans made a lighthearted quote joke towards the end of the interview where he said that he may enter next year's race again with a chance to three-peat. What do you think his chances are of possibly three-peating as the marathon champion next year?
Like we said, you know, experience on the course is so important. I think obviously he has a good chance, but it all depends on who shows up and how the day unfolds. And that is, you know, that's true for any marathon. That's just the nature of a distance race. At that distance, so much can happen. But particularly with Boston, the weather is always a wild card. You know, that's a good example. You know, Des Linden, when she went in 2018, that weather worked to her favor. So, you know, there's so many wild cards that come into Boston that he certainly, I would love to see somebody three-peat at Boston. I think that would be an amazing accomplishment, but there are so many great runners out there that are also capable of mastering the Boston course. And it really just depends on the day that you get, what the weather looks like, what the winds look like, what your health looks like. So many different wild cards that go into how the race unfolds and the strategy that you know unfolds on the Boston course. So a lot of factors, a lot of variables, but I wouldn't write them off, that's for sure.
All right, Julie, same question. Do you see Evans having a chance of three-peating as champion for next year?
Absolutely. I mean, he beat Kipchoge, and he has even more experience. He knows how to run the course. But as Lisa mentioned, it's a wild card, and that's why marathons are so fun, because it's such a challenging distance, and anything can happen, and it's not just dependent on things you can control, but it's also dependent on things you can't control, like weather, like how your training cycle went. And, you know, we can't predict, but I would say he has a darn good chance given that he's already won 2 consecutive Bostons.
All right, fair enough. And again, that takes care of Evans Chebet repeating as the men's winner of the Boston Marathon. All right, let's move over now to the women's winner. And what a great story this was this year for Helen O'Beery winning the women's portion of the 2023 Boston Marathon. Helen has experience being an elite Olympian, winning gold, winning silver medals in Rio de Janeiro and also at the last Olympics that took place in Tokyo. So her track record is so unique as an Olympian and as an elite distance runner, and she wins her first Boston Marathon. And, Julie, I want to start off on Helen winning this year's women's portion of the marathon.
I think Helen was really hungry. She was disappointed in her performance in New York, and she was prepared to run Boston. And the field was stacked this year. The women's field was so deep. And the fact that the times were – Des Linden was 18th, and normally with her time, she easily would have been top 10. So the fact that Helen O'Beery not only won, but won in this incredibly stacked field with times that – typically are not reflective of the tough course at Boston is really fantastic. And she's a terrific runner, a terrific human. And I know everyone was so happy when she got her redemption at Boston after New York.
Rightfully so. Okay, Lisa, same question. Give me your thoughts on Helen winning the women's portion of the marathon.
Yeah, I agree, and I think you know, it was neat to see that you know, just like in the men's race, there was, you know, there was a sizable pack, and the women's was a little bit smaller leading into the final mile, and both races were decided in that final mile. And she's a track champion, a 5,000 meter champion, and she used that track speed at the end to kick away from the field and take the win. But what stood out to me was also going back to the Boston course and strategy on the Boston courses that I read her, you know, she had said that, like Julie said, after New York, she was hungry for the win. And what she learned in New York was patience. And that's so important on the Boston course. And I think that probably the lessons that she learned in New York really helped her with her strategy on the Boston course. And, you know, so certainly a well-deserved win, somebody who works really hard and bided her time well and then took advantage of her strengths, that kick at the end to take the win.
And can I say something else? It was really exciting. At mile 23 and a half, she wasn't in the lead. As Lisa mentioned, she took the lead with a little less than a mile to go, but Emma Bates was in the lead. So when I was watching the race at mile 23, first woman was an American, and it was Emma Bates, and it was her first Boston, and the crowd just went wild, and it was really exciting. And I understand that the women started pulling away from Emma shortly after we saw her, but at that moment, she was in the lead, and it was really exciting.
Indeed, it was exciting just watching it on television and just seeing her take the lead, because, again, you mentioned we'll talk more about Emma Bates and some of the other American runners in just a moment, but it was her along with a couple of the Ethiopians and, of course, Helen. It was really neck and neck for really courts, kind of like towards the end of that course, but Helen hung tough and was able to hold her own and win her first Boston Marathon. And it's strange, ladies, because she said in her interview that you talked about it. Well, both of you had talked about the disappointing that she had in the New York City Marathon, and she almost didn't run in the Boston Marathon this year because she told her coach, she said that she was distraught about what happened in New York and she didn't know if she wanted to do it. She was ready, but her coach convinced her to enter, and hey, the power of persuasion, and she wound up winning. So anything else you would like to chime in on that in terms of her coach helping her, convincing her to get into this year's marathon?
I would say that it just shows how much marathoning in general is a mental sport. And we know firsthand when we coach our runners, we provide our runners with race strategy. And often they'll say, really? Do you really think I can run it in that time? Yes, we believe in you. We see what you've done. We believe in you. And just a coach saying to their runner, we believe in you, is enough often for the runner to go out and try it. And sometimes you just need a third party to believe that you can do something, because we all get in our own head and convince ourselves that we can't do something. And to have someone look at your data and be able to say, yes, you can, is so meaningful. And it's really neat to see the impact that Helen's coach had on her as a result.
Lisa, would you like to add on to that?
Yeah, I agree. And Julie is exactly right that the marathon is so much, once you're physically trained, the marathon is really a mental game. So having a coach or a family member or somebody who, you know, who believes in you and kind of pushes you, certainly that is a game changer for her. You obviously changed the trajectory of her life. I particularly loved also seeing, you know, there's a picture that's circulating of her daughter hugging her at the finish line. And I think it, you know, speaks to the ability for women, even after as they get older and after they have children, to be able to come back and have great performances, which was, you know, very, as women runners ourselves, mothers ourselves, I think that was, you know, that resonated with us too.
Rightfully so. And again, congratulations to Helen O'Beery on winning the women's portion of the 2023 Boston Marathon. All right, ladies, we had some solid American runners that were involved in this year's marathon, specifically on the women's side. You ladies mentioned about Emma Bates, wind up finishing fifth. Also, Des Linden. I mean, we know Des Linden is no stranger to distance running. She finished 18th in this year's Boston Marathon. Any thoughts that you may have on those ladies or anybody that I failed to mention that was in this year's marathon?
I'll go first. First of all, it was really neat to see so many women have PRs. In addition to the women you mentioned, Nell Rojas had a PR. And she's already someone that in other years, she would have been way up there, easily top 10 with her time. And also Erica Kemp. Erica Kemp used to be that Samia Akbar held the record for the fastest African-American woman to run a marathon. That record has been standing since 1999. And Erica Kemp ran her first marathon at Boston last Monday, and she broke Samia Akbar's record. And it was so exciting to see her out there on the course. It was her first marathon, as I mentioned. She just signed with, I can't remember who she signed with. She was with Adidas, but she switched sponsors. And she has had a change in coaching as a result because she was running with the BAA. And so for her to get out there and not only run an incredible time for her first marathon, but also to beat that longstanding record is really, really exciting. And we have no doubt that she'll be back at Boston. She's trained on this course, and we think that she's one to watch for sure.
Lisa, anything else you want to add on to that?
Yeah, just, you know, men's side too. Scott Fauble was top American man, and I think it was his second or third time placing seventh in the field. So again, though, similarly to, you know, Julie was saying, the field, the elite field is just getting faster and faster every year. So times that may have been a winning time or in the top three times in the past are now placing runners in the top 20 instead. So, but it's really exciting to see some American talent that's been placing in the top 10 at Boston, which is really notable.
All right, and then I want to move along now to, of course, this was a very somber year for the Boston Marathon. It came on the heels of the 10th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. So certainly this was a marathon that was celebrated, but it was also a lot of heavy hearts for this year's Boston Marathon. Any of you ladies can start off first. Do you remember what happened 10 years ago? And if so, would you be open to share about what happened on that tragic day?
Yeah, absolutely. We were there. You know, we've been running Boston for many, many years. So we were there in 2013. We were actually together. We had both finished the race, and we meet friends at a restaurant bar that is just past the finish line. So it's probably about 4 or 5 blocks past the finish line. And we were there at the time that it happened. We did not know. We did not hear it. We didn't didn't hear any explosions or anything like that. I was actually leaving the restaurant to walk back to my hotel, the opposite direction of the finish line, at the exact time that it happened. And as I left, I was and walking back, all of a sudden lots and lots of sirens. And I thought maybe somebody had a heart attack at the finish line. Julie was still at the restaurant, and Julie's family was actually in Boston at the time, had they had been spectating her. So it was a very, once the news sunk in, and once we got wind of the news as it traveled through the crowds, it was a really panic moment for us to get in touch with our families, make sure they were okay, let them know we were okay. But we had finished, so we were beyond the finish line. And like I said, we didn't experience it firsthand, but we were this year fortunate enough to be at the finish line for the memorial event for the 10-year anniversary of the bombings. And it was a very moving event that was attended by politicians, by families of those that had passed away that day, by families of injured spectators that day. And it was really, really well attended by runners and spectators at the race this year. And it was a very appropriate tone. And it was, for us, 10 years sounds like a really long time, but it doesn't feel like it was that long. And it really, I think for both of us, and for many people, shaped how we think of the Boston Marathon. It, I think, brought the Boston Marathon into the limelight for obviously for the wrong reasons then, but the following year in 2014, for the right reasons, as we all came back and the show of Boston Strong, that was the year that Meb won. It was very fitting. That was so. It really has become kind of a symbol of Boston Strong and how special not only the Boston Marathon is, but the Boston community. And so it was really, for us, especially since the Boston Marathon has been such an important part of both of our lives, and that day 10 years ago
was really just, you know, something that neither of us will ever forget. It was really meaningful for both of us to be there this year and to be at that ceremony.
Julie, same question. Do you remember where you were and just how did that all come about with the events leading up to the anniversary?
Yeah, so like Lisa mentioned, we were at Fire and Ice, a popular bar off the finish line, and we heard sirens and looked up at the TV and saw right on the news that there had been some explosions at the finish line. The gravity of the situation did not hit us initially until we started really understanding what had happened, and it was just devastating. And my family was spectating at mile 24 and then left to drive home after that, but I didn't know that, and because cell service was turned off at the time, it was tough for a few minutes to get in touch with them, and that was like the longest few minutes of my life, not knowing where they were. But Lisa and I, of course, feel very fortunate because on a personal level, we had finished the race, and we were safely inside a restaurant watching this, but we were concerned for all of our fellow runners who were still out there on the course, and once we had a better understanding of what had occurred, we were just devastated. And honestly, even though it's been 10 years, sometimes I think about it, and the shock of what happened still has not worn off. I know Lisa feels the same way. It's like, did that really happen? Did two people really do that at the Boston Marathon finish line, the happiest place on earth? And to be able to bookend it with the ceremony on Saturday afternoon, it was a gorgeous day, not much different from the day the bombings occurred in 2013. And seeing the many of the Red Sox who were part of the team in 2013 in attendance, along with Senator Elizabeth Warren, Mayor Michelle Wu, and so many others, but most importantly, seeing the victims, their families, and just filled on a day that was somber but yet triumphant. And there was a children's choir performing and the Boston Symphony Orchestra performing, and it was just really wonderful. And Meb Teflesky was narrating the ceremony. So it was a very meaningful, tasteful ceremony, as Lisa mentioned, and really was a great way for us to sort of close that chapter.
You ladies mentioned about being a part of the tributes and being a part of that tragic day and being a part of the anniversary, and someone that led the Boston Strong movement, someone that was really somebody that spearheaded it, was Boston Red Sox player David Ortiz. Any one of you can answer this question first. Did you have an opportunity to see Big Poppy at the marathon?
We actually saw him at the ceremony. We did see him. And
it
he was
really cool.
Yeah, and he was the grand marshal for the marathon. So he was at the start. I didn't see him at the start, but I did watch. We could watch on the TV from the athletes' village at the start, the starting ceremonies, and he was there. So that was pretty neat, and it was definitely a fitting, fitting way to mark 10 years.
Julie, would you like to add on as well?
Jeff said it was really cool to see Big Poppy at the ceremony, and we knew right away it was him. And he was sitting with all of the 2013 players in the bleachers behind the families. And also, I really liked that, too. I liked that the Red Sox weren't sitting front and center. I liked that they were sitting behind the people who should be front and center. I thought that was really important and peaceful.
Rightfully so, well said. And Lisa, Julie, you weren't able to run in this year's marathon due to you recovering from an ACL injury. But Lisa, I'll ask you this question. What place did you finish in this year's marathon, and did you hit a PR, or did you feel like you didn't necessarily do your best in this year's race?
Well, again, it was my 20th Boston Marathon. It was not my fastest. It was not my slowest. It was somewhere in between. I was targeting my fitness. Felt like it was somewhere between a 3:15 and a 3:20 marathon, and I finished in 3:24, so a little bit slower. But I am not a great cold weather and especially wet weather runner. So, that was a factor for me. Like I said, every year, lots of different variables at Boston, and for me, weather is probably the biggest one. So for many people, that weather was great, and they liked the cold weather. I would have been very happy with the weather that we had on Friday of 80 degrees, which most people would be cursing me, but I'm definitely a more warm weather runner. So every year is a little bit different in terms of the weather you know, how the course plays out. And this year, it was a great, but, you know, I can never recall, and I certainly don't know my ranking. I haven't looked that up, but I can never recall my finish times from each year. I just always remember the experience of being on the Boston course. So, and that is the even with the weather that I would have preferred to be a little bit different, even with less than ideal weather, it's Boston, and I cannot have any complaints. It's always such a well-run race. The BAA does an amazing job with logistics and with the race. A lot of people running on narrow roads. They do a really good job. They, you know, it's just the spectators in Boston along the course are just, there really are very few places that you experience what you experience along the Boston course. And just Boston itself, from the moment you arrive in Boston, it is, you know, it's all about the marathon, and it's like the Super Bowl that has arrived. And so that experience will never change. And again, it was another, I said the first year I ran Boston that I would come back every year I possibly could. And then interestingly, the 2013 was my 10th Boston Marathon. And I said at that point, I said, I think that'll be my last. I said, I think 10 is a good number of Boston Marathons. I think I'll finish. And then what happened in Boston 2013, I said, there's no way I can't go back. And then, so I've been going back ever since. Now I don't think I'll ever stop. But that year was really the year that convinced me that I needed to keep coming back to Boston. So it's hard to remember all the finish times from all the years, but we always remember the experience of being there. And Julie and I, our experiences being there. And this year was particularly really special with us.
Absolutely. And I hope you don't stop. You and Julie don't stop anytime soon, because there's definitely more races to be ran and definitely more moments and experiences to be had. And you heard it from them, Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin from the Run Farther and Faster podcast. Ladies, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, again, just tell the listeners out there what Run Farther and Faster is all about.
Sure. We are a coaching company. We coach runners of all levels virtually, meaning that we coach through a platform called Final Surge, and we tailor runners' coaching to their level, their needs, and the distance and goals that they have. We've been coaching now for almost 14 years, and in addition to coaching runners of all levels, we also, of course, host a podcast, and we're just really honored to have the opportunity to speak with you, Ed, and really appreciate you allowing us the time to talk about Boston. It's our favorite subject. We collectively run Boston now 32 times, and we really believe that if anyone has any Boston questions or needs to train for Boston, we're the experts out there that will get you to the race healthy and ready to go.
Awesome. Tell everybody where they can find Run Farther and Faster on social media, any websites that you ladies would like to put out there, and of course, where can they find you, Julie, and where can they find you, Lisa, on social media as well?
Sure. We can be found on Instagram at Run Farther and Faster, on Facebook at Run Farther and Faster, and on Twitter at Run Farther Fast. Our website is runfartherandfaster.com, and our email address is julieandlisa@runfartherandfaster.com, or you can just Google us. There's lots of information out there on Google as well.
Awesome. And you heard it from them, Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin from Run Farther and Faster. Again, they have a great podcast, and also it's a great coaching service that they provide to teach runners of all levels how to finish not just the Boston Marathon, but just finish the races of their choice as well. Check them out. Ladies, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Oh, thank you so much, Ed, for the opportunity. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ed.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
And the crowd getting into it as they get to welcome their first hero of 2023 home. And in doing so, as he'll cross Exeter here in a moment and be into that final block in front of the Boston Public Library, he's going to get under that course record. So this will be a big payday for the 2023 champion. Marcel Hoog takes the victory as he celebrates the win in Boston.
It feels incredible. It was a great race, but also a difficult race in these conditions. And to do this fast time on this course in these conditions is, for me, it's incredible.
And now, maybe for the first time, a little bit of a smile on her face as she will try to take in this amazing moment as she will win her first Boston Marathon. The 31-year-old American in total control as she wins her first Boston Marathon.
I really think, and this went through my mind today, regardless of what you're experiencing that day, some setbacks you can have, it's a privilege to be out here. And I learned, after taking a year where I couldn't race, I'm so happy just to get to be here and the opportunity we have to do this sport and to inspire others. I try to soak in each moment of that now.
The greatest marathon runner in the world today on April 17th of 2023 is going to be Evans Chebet, the upset winner and champion of the 127th Boston Marathon.
Today I'm happy because last year I ran, but last year is no train. But this year a lot of rain. So I'm happy because I know this course very well. Because I'm happy because I win last year and this year, so maybe next year I'll come back again.
As she is directed into that finisher chute, Baristo will go to the other side. And just needing an opportunity to race, Helen O'Beary is given that opportunity and takes full advantage. As she will come to line and celebrate with a huge smile, a Boston Marathon victory.
First of all, I'm so happy because I didn't want to come up here for this race. After, the coach tried to convince me, but my mind was somewhere else. So I said, no, I can't do Boston. So he told me, I believe on you. Just go for Boston and you will make it. For me, I was saying, I was 50-50, but he told me, you have trained well. And they go to Boston and they be patient up to the last minute. So I said, okay, let me go and do it. But my heart, I needed to go, someone else in marathon. But I'm very, very happy. I couldn't believe this. Yeah.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Leftovers. Or. The DMV.
Number
97. Or. House cleaning. Or.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
everybody. That's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Julie Sapper and Lisa Levin, hosts of the Run Farther and Faster podcast. The podcast is dedicated to the sport of running as it features a wide range of interviews from doctors to athletes to weekend warriors. It also provides information to coaches and runners of all levels. Again, a big special thank you to Julie and Lisa for appearing on the program as we recap the 2023 running of the Boston Marathon. Until next time, remember, as always, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Leftovers or the DMV
number 97
or house cleaning. Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.